Good afternoon to all listeners. I'm Gabriel Kamzuli, and we'll be conducting today's program, Is Debatable. This is a weekly discussion of current affairs in its second series. The program is run by the Department of International Relations in the Faculty of Arts at the University of Malta as part of the course assessment for research methods. Today's participants, Ran Zhang and Liu Jingzhao, both Chinese students, we'll be discussing the controversy on the freedom of religious belief in China. After the break, we will have a short intervention by Mr. Parrish Payton. Before starting today's debate, Dr. Isabel Kalea will give us an introduction on the role of religion in society and the political framework.
Thank you, Gabriel. One of the earliest declarations enunciating the rights for every individual to religious freedom was that of Thomas Jefferson's bill for establishing religious freedom in the state of Virginia, which was enacted in 1785. This bill reiterated that no man shall be compelled to frequent or support any religious worship, place, or ministry whatsoever, nor shall be enforced, restrained, molested, or burdened in his body or goods, nor shall otherwise suffer on account of his religious opinion or belief, but that all men shall be free to profess and by argument to maintain their opinions in matters of religion, and that the same shall in no wise diminish, enlarge, or affect their civil capacities. This right to religious freedom has been a hard-won right in the Western sphere. In Europe, the continent was split for many centuries by the ongoing divisions between different religious factions, primarily of a Catholic or Protestant persuasion. Conflict also raged over the secular construct of the state, the place of religion therein, and whether a formal role should be granted to any particular religious persuasion. Many of these issues have only been recently resolved. In Britain, Catholics were accorded the same rights before the state with the Catholic Emancipation Act of 1829. In Italy and Malta, the role of the church within the secular construct of the state was only fully resolved in the 1970s. Today, conflict between different religions, between different religious persuasions, and on the role of religion within the state persists. In recent years, we have witnessed the radicalization of certain religious sects that have attempted to maintain a preeminent status within the societal framework and the continued influence over political decisions. Evangelical groups have had an important influence over decision-making under the current presidency of the USA. In the Middle East and North Africa, divisions between Shi'i and Sunni factions have contributed to increased unrest in the area. In other states, such as Pakistan, Indonesia and Sudan, the conflict continues to be over the right of individuals to freely practice their religion. In Romania, a 2006 law limiting the number of recognized religions is being contested. In Exeter University, Britain, the Christian Union has recently taken legal action under the Human Rights Act and gone to the High Court because it has been removed from the university list of official unions by the Student Guild for allegedly failing to respect the university's equal opportunities policy. This situation is highlighted in China, for during the Cultural Revolution of the 1960s, religious aspirations were jettisoned as having no role within the format of the communist state. In recent years, we have witnessed a resurgence of religious or quasi-religious activity across China. This resurgence encompasses ancient folk religions and ancestor worship, along with the organized religions of Buddhism, Taoism, Islam, and most strikingly, given its foreign origins, Christianity. Today, the right to religious freedom is formally entrenched in the Constitution, and the Communist Party is beginning to rethink its approach to religion. It now acknowledges that it may even have its uses. This does not mean that China has embraced religious freedoms. Some religions, Tibetan, Buddhism, Islam, Catholicism and Protestantism, are still subject to tight controls because of parties' fears that their followers might have an anti-government bent. Many who refuse to accept state attempts to regulate their religion are imprisoned in labor camps. Today's program will focus on religious freedoms in China.
Thanks, Dr. Kalea. After that introduction, Bruno Parsons, an international relations student, read some quotes from newspapers and articles that concern today's debate.
Well, my first quote is on George W. Bush's response to religious freedom and tolerance. According to him, he goes on to state, "I'm committed to the First Amendment principles of religious freedom, tolerance, and diversity. whether Mormon, Methodist, Jewish, or Muslim, Americans should be able to participate in the constitutional free exercise of religion. I do not think witchcraft is a religion, and I do not think in any way is it appropriate for the U.S. military to promote it. My next quote will be from Joseph Blau, a professor of religion from the University of Columbia. Freedom of religion means the right of the individual to choose and to adhere to whichever religious belief he may prefer, to join with others in religious associations, to express these beliefs, and to incur no civil disabilities because of his choice. My last quote is by Mao Zedong, a former leader of the Communist Party of China. According to him, religion is poison. We shall support whatever our enemies oppose and oppose whatever our enemies support.
Thanks. Should Chinese people enjoy more freedom to have religion, Ling Zhao?
Yes, I believe Chinese people should have the right to choose their own religion because, first of all, I believe the spiritual needs are the fundamental for human beings. However, one fact in China now is that all the freedom of religious belief is protected by the Chinese constitution and laws. The government's implication of Communism Party policy on religion and restrictions elsewhere in domestic law means that this constitutional right does not really function as it should, and there are not enough guarantees for protected people participating and the religious activities within the legal context. In a word, religious freedom and civil rights should be protected according to constitution and laws. And second, we all have our right to live and right to develop ourselves. Religion should be adapted to the society in which it is prevalent. This is a universal law for the existence and development of religion, and these fundamental rights should be protected rather than be violated, and though some have argued that it would lead to chaos if people act in their own will. I think it is strange that people who preach on the street have found themselves on the government blacklist and then caught and condemned. Since spiritual needs are part of our human nature, I don't think it is right to stop people from giving and being fulfilled by their spiritual food. In this case, human rights are being violated. What is happening in China now is that Christians who have formed house churches are being watched and their houses being broken into by police and often jailed if they are caught. And this was still happening up to last year. One should be clear here. If someone asked you, do you think that people who participate in religious activities which were not yet recognized by the government should be tortured? I think the answer would be absolutely no. Therefore, I believe that before more people can freely practice their religion, a more free and protected legal context should be established for religious development.
But in my opinion, citizens in China should not have more freedom of religious belief, because Karl Marx once said that religion is the opiate of the mass. So some religious groups made up by citizens may represent a challenge to Communist Party ideology, with the potential to organize opposition, and the ruling party of China may lose its power. Therefore, in China, politics and religion can't coexist with each other. Religion in China has been a complicated matter from the foundation of the People's Republic of China. The ruling party in China, the Chinese Communist Party, for a long time discouraged the practice of religion officially because it was atheist, but in reality because it believed religion was a dangerous adversary of Chinese communism. One reason is that, in history, there are numbers of cults which helped to bring down past Chinese governments. For example, the Boxers, Yellow Hats, and so on. So the communists are very suspicious of any group that could claim people's loyalty. with the gradual liberalization that developed with Deng Xiaoping's open door reforms in 1982, the constitution allows Chinese people considerable freedom of religion, but established laws that religion should never be allowed to be used to oppose the party leadership or the socialist system or destroy national reunification and ethnic unity. Furthermore, religious activities must be removed as a party member because it will change the mindsets of party cadres and lead to a collapse in their faith in the Communist Party and lead to the political and social crisis. Countries in the world differ in history and tradition, cultural background, and social system, and certainly in value systems. Therefore, freedom of religious and belief systems of countries are different. In the Western countries, their concepts of freedom of human rights and the tolerance of different religious support a good social system. However, in China, it must have pattern of ruling power, keeping a watchful air on sectarian groups. Because of its traditional and unique religion we use and lifestyle. Because in China, we have over 5,000 years history, from ancient until now, where most powers were concentrated in one government. This is our tradition of Chinese governance. So, it is necessary to keep a watchful air on such groups in order to protect this power.
Discussion will continue with the phone now just after a short break.
Oh, life is bigger. It's bigger than you, and you are not me. The lengths that I will go to, the distance in your eyes. Oh no, I've said too much. I said it.
Welcome back to the second part of the program. Today we are discussing the controversy on the freedom of religious belief in China. We have now here Mr. Parrish Payton, originally from the USA, now residing in Malta, who will be speaking on the experience of Jehovah's Witnesses in Malta. So, the Constitution declares religious freedom in Malta. What is your experience of religious tolerance in Malta?
Well, I've lived in Malta for a little over 2 years now, and as one of Jehovah's Witnesses, we have 7 congregations of Jehovah's Witnesses in Malta, 6 Maltese-speaking and 1 English-speaking. And I personally have had no opposition to our activities. As Jehovah's Witnesses, we pattern our lives and our ministry after first century Christians and God's faithful servants throughout history. And in addition to following the pattern set by Jesus in our personal lives, we also follow his command to preach and teach. And this is based on what the Bible says at Matthew 28:19-20, where it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of people of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you." And now this is done at homes and in the street and marketplaces, basically wherever people can be found, as the Bible book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 20, where the Apostle Paul, who as a matter of fact came to Malta, and he said that he taught publicly and from house to house. For example, we have a stand that we set up in Valletta on Republic Street where we distribute literature and we talk to people about the Bible. And this is done without any interference or opposition. We also have weekly meetings as well as special programs certain times of the year, such as assemblies and conventions where upwards of 1,000 people attend, and again with no obstruction. And Bible instruction is given at these meetings. And, for instance, coming up on April the 2nd, we have what's called the Memorial of Christ's Death, which is the most important occasion we have all year. And we have this each year here in Malta. We also leave Bible study aids with people, such as a book that we're distributing this month called What Does the Bible Really Teach? And it's being used worldwide. This publication helps us to teach the Bible to people. Now, with regards to all these activities, I've experienced no opposition or interference whatsoever. In the past, I understand that there was some trouble made against our work, as can be noted from the little signs that you might see on the doors, for the purpose of dissuading people away from speaking to us. But it seems to have had the opposite effect. Many were, in fact, encouraged to ask questions as to why they were being told not to speak to us. And so we've seen that all such efforts worldwide and throughout history, in fact, have failed. As the book of Isaiah, chapter 54, verse 17, shows that since it has God's backing, that is our work, it cannot be stopped. So I believe we do have freedom here in Malta to carry out our ministerial work. And this can be seen from the many people who are studying the Bible with us, because people really want to learn what the Bible really teaches, and they have a hunger and a thirst for answers to life's perplexing questions, such as who is Jesus Christ and where are the dead? Why does God allow suffering? And they're getting satisfying answers to these questions when they study the Bible with us. Jesus said at Matthew 24:14, this preaching work must be done worldwide, and the freedom that we have here in Malta is enabling us to carry out this commission here. And for this, we are very grateful.
Thanks, Mr. Parrish Payton. Thanks. Within the context of China, can religion contribute to social stability and development?
Of course, not all religions can be considered beneficial, but we cannot simply judge which is right and which is wrong. However, good religions contribute in many ways. Ever since Aristotle outlined the goal of a sound civil order in his Politics, social and political scientists and social psychologists have been particularly interested in what makes human beings happy. Happy people tend to be productive and law-abiding. They learn well, make good citizens, and are invariably pleasant company. It turns out that practice of religion has a significant effect on happiness and an overall sense of personal well-being. Happiness is greater and psychological stress is lower for those who attend religious services regularly. Those pursuing a personal relationship with God tend to have improved relationship with themselves and others. Secondly, I believe that religion can strengthen family ties. Why I say this is important because society is formed by many family units, and religion can help to develop a healthy relations within and beyond the units. More importantly, young people can learn the means to love their parents, and to achieve harmony with others. Actually, I found that there are many similarities between Chinese local religion of Buddhism or Confucianism and the Christian religion from the West. Both their teachings can influence people to develop in the positive way and to form good moral standards. As a result of good moral standards, people are more likely to follow the rule of law, knowing what is justice and order, keep themselves away from immorality. So the crime rate can be reduced and there would be better social stability and development. Thirdly, there is an interconnectedness between people who have the same religion but may come from different regions, even nationalities. With the broad brotherhoods, it can decrease the conflicts among them. Therefore, such friendly communications and cooperations can be helpful to achieve the goal of social stability and peace.
Actually, I feel religion in China has dual characteristics in the context of social stability here. I agree with Ran that patriotic religious people have made active contributions to economic construction, social stability, and unity among ethnic groups in China. However, there are many examples that indicate that religion can also disturb peace and stability in China. Some religions are seen as evil cults in China. For example, Falun Gong is seen as a cult which caused social instability and is against the science of the human race. In 1999, the Falun Gong was banned in China. This is necessary and acceptable, as countless facts have demonstrated. Firstly, it is against all religions. It claims itself superior to all religions in the world. Vilifying religions such as Christianity and Buddhism as inferior. Second, Falun Gong is anti-science. It defames science and deceives people into thinking that only Falun Gong can treat their illness, asks Falun Gong practitioners not to see doctors, not take any medicine when they are ill, so that they can go to heaven after they die. As a result, over 1,500 Falun Gong practitioners in China have died by refusing medical treatment for their illness. Third, Falun Gong does not cherish people's lives. It advocates that the doomsday is coming and people should sacrifice their lives to achieve fulfillment. Many followers committed suicide due to this absurd fallacy. Therefore, this kind of cult and use of religion to engage in illegal activities must be suppressed to maintain social stability in China. In addition, from the economic aspects, China is a developing country. If there are many people involved in too much religious activity, it may disturb the economic development of China. In China, there are many people living in underdeveloped rural areas who lack an education. So they are more likely to be superstitious, and they have a very bad effect on economic productivity. For instance, in the countryside, many people think that farming depends on God to bless them and to give them good weather, rather than depend on science to increase the productivity. This is cited as one of the reasons for the growing gap between rich and poor in China.
Western religions have a potential to develop in China. How far do you agree with the statement?
I believe that there is great potential for West religions to flourish in China. The reasons are these. First of all, religion as a social phenomenon can never be eliminated from any society. It has become part of social life. At the same time, because people have free will, in the context of globalization, people can enjoy more opportunity to get access to such information which have been banned before by means of internet and satellite TV channels. This means that it can be easier for West religion to penetrate into Chinese society, and it may be more likely to shape people's minds to accept it as part of their life if they do feel religion is beneficial for them. Second, as we know, we have one country, two system policy towards Hong Kong, Macau, and Taiwan. Freedom of religious beliefs are one of the aspects which has been guaranteed by autonomous governments in these districts. And I believe that these three locations can play an important role of windows towards the mainland China in the process of democratization, accelerating reforms of policies which may provide even wider space for people to participate in religious affairs. Lastly, China is economic terms in strong country and rapidly growing, and it has been trying to open itself up and find new approaches to the international spheres. In time, there will be more and more cultural amalgamation between China and the West through more social, economical, and cultural cooperations in the forms of intra-non-governmentalism. I believe that West religions can develop well and be accepted by more and more people if they act within the legal construct.
Personally, I don't think Western religion has the potential to develop a positive prospect in the future of China. Politically, under the influence of our government, our fundamental education is based on the theory of communism. We have 9 years obligatory education. One of the purposes of this education is aiming at teaching children to be atheists from their youth and to be more secular. Therefore, today, the majority of the young are not interested in participating in religious activity. Culturally, Buddhism is our traditional religion, which has mainly formed our fundamental moral standards. So, it is difficult for Western religions to be accepted by those who already have these strong beliefs. All in all, I can say for sure that it is impossible for politics and religion to combine with each other in China. Most of the powers should be concentrated on one government in order to decrease the cleavages and conflicts so that we can achieve stability and harmony within our country.
Thanks, Shang Zhang and Ling Zhao, for giving us your opinion in today's debate, and Bruno Parsons for research on quotes. Thanks also to Dr. Kalea and Mr. Parrish Payton for their contribution. I hope you enjoyed today's debate. Join us for the next program, Today Week.